Now, I don't know about you, but I really love going out after the rain and just seeing what is different and what has changed. But my favorite time of going out after the rain probably came in 2013. This is me in a kayak on a mini oval, a place where we normally played ball games. See, in 2013 in Tasmania, there was a lot of rain. So much so that our mini oval flooded, and I was able to spend part of my work day floating around in a kayak on two-thirds of it. What this photo doesn't show, though, is the fear and the worry and the confusion and the uncertainty that happened in the storm before this. See, this is taken a couple of days after the storm. But during the storm, it had been raining for days. And we had a group of 300 people on site. And then we got a phone call. We're worried that the dams further up the river are going to break. And we're worried that your campsite is going to flood. So right before dinner, our chefs had already made the food and they were finishing cooking it properly. We had to evacuate 300 people from this campsite and get them food. Domino's are great after they hung up the first time. We evacuated that group of 300 to somewhere in town. We managed to get all of the staff off-site. And thankfully, the dams didn't burst. But as we walked around the site the next day, there were incredible areas of damage. See, there were massive telegraph poles that had been cemented into the ground for an obstacle course that had just been swept down to the beach by the river. In the middle of the storm, it was scary and confusing, and we had no idea what was going to happen. A couple of days after, we could do this. Today, we are continuing our journey through the Gospel of Mark. And we've been working on this sermon series over the course of the year. And we're about to finish chapter 4. And I'd encourage you, if you've missed some of these sermons, go back and listen to them online. But where we are in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been focusing on the kingdom of God and sharing with people in parables. He's trying to help people understand who God is and what his kingdom is like. And now we have a passage where Jesus is heading into the next part of his ministry. And so if you've got your Bibles there, I encourage you to open up to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start at verses 35 and continue on. Mark 4, 35 to 38. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Really? They're going to say that to Jesus? This is an event where it seems to go from everything is great and everything is perfect to everything's gone wrong incredibly quickly. Just to provide a little bit of context and reminder. So at the start of Mark chapter 4, Jesus gets into a boat and goes off from shore a little bit because the crowd was so big. And he's teaching the people from this boat. And he teaches them as much as they could understand. This is the kind of brain fog that you get at the end of day one of a conference when you're like, "There is so much good stuff here, but I can't take anything else in." Jesus sees that they're at their limit. And so he goes, "Right, that's enough. And he says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Let's go start sharing this good news with somebody else. And so they take him just as they are. There is no planning for this trip. There is no preparations. They just go. But the disciples are seasoned fishermen. Many of them are anyway. They know what it's like to go across the lake, and it's nice and easy. And so they set off, and they're probably chatting in the boat, talking about the things that Jesus has talked about, trying to make sense of it all, trying to understand it. And Jesus, who has had a full day of teaching, is exhausted. And so he decides to have a nap in the front of the boat. Life is good. And then a storm hits. Now, for the Sea of Galilee, storms are actually something quite serious. Here is a picture of the Sea of Galilee, and you see that it is surrounded by mountains. The wind comes blowing into the Sea of Galilee, and it goes down, and it whips the waves up into a frenzy. The storms, when they come fast, and they come fierce, and there's not much warning. These storms are life-threatening storms, and the disciples know that. Again, they're fishermen. They spend their lives on the Sea of Galilee. And so they're seeing this storm. They're seeing these waves. In fact, we know that the waves are coming up into the boat. And there are two different reactions to what goes on. The first reaction is the disciples. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" The disciples are seeing the waves, they are seeing the storm, and they are panicking. They are freaking out. They are probably running from one end of the boat to the other. They're trying to get as much water out of the boat as they can, and they are worried. And so they accuse Jesus of not caring about them. They accuse Jesus of ignoring them. They accuse Jesus of not even noticing the danger that they're in. The disciples' reaction is the reaction of people who are caught up in fear and worry and concern, who can just see the stress of the situation. Their panic is setting off other people's panic. So that's one reaction. And the other reaction is Jesus, who in the middle of this storm is completely at peace. In fact, in the middle of this storm, he is having a sleep. A few weeks ago, we did a series on Jonah, and as I was preparing that, I actually thought about this story, because in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah goes below deck of the boat and he falls asleep. But it's a very different kind of falling asleep. Because in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah's trying to ignore God. He's trying to block off any thought of God, and so he is shutting off his attention to God. But here, in the boat, Jesus is sleeping because he is at peace. He knows God is there. He knows the peace of God in this situation. So we've got two very different reactions at work here. Two very different ways to respond. And I guess the question that I have is, how do you respond in the middle of a storm? It might be a physical storm, something like the storm that I had at the campsite in 2013, or even like the microburst that hit in 2022 here. The storm that comes up and causes damage, and people are worried and people are panicking. Power goes out. Phone lines get interrupted. There is uncertainty. How do you react? Or maybe it's not actually a physical storm. Maybe the storm is just something that is so big, so out of your control, so powerful that you can't do anything to stop it, and it's just happening. And it's throwing all of your plans out. It's meaning that you can't actually do what you were hoping to do. Maybe It's the death of someone important to you. Maybe it is a medical diagnosis that is completely unexpected and out of the blue. Maybe it's the loss of a job or someone moving on either from town or from your workplace, somebody who was a foundation and a support for you and somebody who was important and they're just leaving. How do you respond in those moments of stress and emergency? Do you panic like the disciples do? Do you accuse God of not caring about you? Do you complain and whinge and go, God, this is all your fault. You don't care about me. Or like Jesus, are you at peace in the middle of everything that's going on? Even though it doesn't make sense, even though you are completely unsure, you have peace. Because I know which reaction I want to have in those situations and in those moments. And I know what reaction I normally have. And yet today's passage, there is this beautiful hope and these beautiful lessons that we can learn from Jesus about what we can do in the middle of the storm for that peace. And so the first lesson that we learn is following Jesus doesn't avoid the storms. Verse 35 says, that day when evening came, he, meaning Jesus, said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. It was Jesus' idea and Jesus' plan that they would head across the lake. It was Jesus' idea that put them in the path of the storm. And it's something that we need to understand, we need to realize as followers of Jesus that just because we're choosing to follow him doesn't mean that we're not going to have these massive life events, we're not going to have to face these storms. Jesus calls us to go through these storms as we serve him. As I was writing this, I thought about Matt and Shannon Anderson moving to Kalkarindji last year. And I think that they were in that community for a week, maybe two, when the floods came. The entire community was flooded. Just after they moved there, just after they followed the call of Jesus to that community, it flooded. And they were all evacuated out to Howard Springs. That's an example of a physical storm that was so big, so out of control, something stressful, and yet Jesus invited them into it. Because when we follow Jesus, it doesn't mean that we avoid storms, that we don't go into them. Instead, we're reminded that Jesus stays with us in the storm. That we don't have to face the storms alone. In the passage today, Jesus is in the boat with his disciples. He doesn't say, hey, you guys go across the lake. You guys go through the storm. He goes, let us go across. He is there in the boat. He is there in the storm. He is there right beside the disciples. He doesn't leave them alone. He doesn't abandon them by themselves. And as I was thinking about this week, one of the things that has been wonderful about my time here in Alice is that I've been able to engage in hospital ministry a lot more than I have in previous moments, in previous times. And as I have sat with people, as I've heard their stories, as I've spoken with them, there have been some words that have been coming to mind again and again and again. And they are from the psalmist. And Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12 say this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. For night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I love the words of the psalmist here and the truth that is captured, the beautiful hope that is in these words. And he phrases it in this way: there is nowhere that you can go to escape from God's presence. But when we're in the middle of the storm, these words are a reminder that God is there in the storm with us. In those moments of stress, in those moments where everything seems out of control, this is a reminder that we are not there alone. We are not there by ourselves. We are not there doing it in our own strength. Instead, we are there with God beside us. Jesus is in that storm. When we're in the middle of grief, Jesus is there. When we're lying in a hospital room at night, Jesus is there. In the middle of hurt or betrayal or uncertainty, Jesus is there. And in the middle of flooding or fire, or storm, Jesus is there. Because the beautiful truth is, while following Jesus doesn't mean that we avoid the storms, we still have them. His promise is that he stays with us in the middle of them, that we don't have to face them alone, we don't have to face them by ourselves. If we continue looking at this story, verses 37 to 41 say, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet. Be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus' words in verse 39 of quiet, and then the disciples' question of who is this in verse 41. This is an echo back to Mark chapter 1. As Jesus begins his ministry, as he casts out an impure spirit, he tells the spirit to be quiet, to be muzzled. And the people who are watching this say, "Who is this who commands even the spirits? And who teaches with authority?" This question of who is this is an important one, because the disciples here in this moment are getting a new and fresh understanding, a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. And it's something that gives us hope, because Jesus is the Lord of all creation. Because when Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God, it's not just a spiritual thing. Sometimes we can fall into the trap of we think, you know, God is spiritual, and so he deals with our spiritual selves, but the physical world, that's separate. God doesn't work in the physical realm. God doesn't do these things, and yet that's not true. We shared God's stories earlier. There would have been stories of God at work in the physical realm, because God is king over the physical world as well as the spiritual. And here in this passage, Jesus is demonstrating his power and his might over creation. He is demonstrating that he is the Lord of all creation, over things that were too big and too powerful for the disciples to control, too massive for them to affect or to stop or to do anything. And do you know what? That same wind, those same waves, they are still too powerful for us to do anything about today. Because I think about what we can do with all the technology that we have, and while we can predict when a storm is coming, while we have the ability to build stronger buildings that can withstand storms, we cannot stop the wind. We cannot stop the storm from coming. It is too big and it is too powerful. And yet Jesus said, "Quiet, be still." And there's a beautiful echo here to another psalm, which is Psalm 46. And verses 1 to 3 say this: "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." The psalmist here describes God as our refuge and our strength. It's the place where we can go when we are overwhelmed. It's the place where we can go when we are in trouble. And then he describes the mountains falling into the sea and the waters roaring and foaming. It's describing these chaotic events that are too big, too powerful for us, too mighty for us to do anything about. These are those storms that we face, those moments when we feel overwhelmed, those moments when we feel like we can't do anything. And this psalm continues describing more chaotic events, and it describes God's power and his majesty, and then it finishes with verses 10 to 11. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." I've always had a bit of a love-hate relationship with verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. I don't like to be still. I don't like to pause, especially when things are stressful and things are going on, because that's the moment that, like the disciples, I want to act. I want to do. I don't want to be still. Because like the disciples, when storms come, we panic. We try to control, even though the things are too big and too powerful and too mighty for us to do anything about. But here in this psalm, we have a reminder. We don't have the ability to stop the wind from blowing or the waves from crashing. We can't stop the storm. But Jesus can. In the middle of the storm, we are invited to be still, to remember that we are not God, but God is God and he is in control. That it is God who rescues us, God who keeps us safe. In verse 40, Jesus says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you still not trust me?" This is an invitation for us in the middle of the storm to not rely on ourselves, to not rely on our efforts, our skills, our abilities, because we can't stop it. Jesus is inviting us, as he sits there in the middle of the storm with us. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am the Lord of all creation. Be still and know that I am with you here in this storm. I care for you. I love you. I will protect you. Because we've got two choices in the storm. We can choose to either panic and worry, or instead we can choose to ask Jesus to help give us his peace and to be still. So when the storms come up in life, because we're not going to avoid them, Jesus calls us to follow him through the storms. But when they come up, how will you respond? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this story, this event that happened. I thank you for the truths that are contained within it. I thank you for the hope that is found. And Lord Jesus, I know that it is so easy when storms come up, when the things that are big and massive and out of our control come up, it is so easy to panic and worry and to feel like you don't care about us. Lord, I pray that as we enter into those storms, that you would help us to be still. Help us to remember that you are there in the storm with us, and that you are Lord over everything. God, help us to remember that you are with us, and that you are on our side, and that you care for us. And Lord, help us to have your peace in those moments and in that place. Lord, these things we pray in your name. Amen.